morning, and thank you all for coming. I am a student at Penn State University, and all this research was done in preparation for my master's degree there. I've been working with Dr. Shore Diker, who unfortunately couldn't be here today, but I'm going to present the results that I've collected over 2005 and 2006. Soil quality is typically evaluated based on biological, chemical, and physical indicators. And in this study, I'm just focusing on the physical indicators, particularly bulk density, penetration resistance, infiltration rates, and aggregate stability. There have been studies over the year linking good crop and soil management practices to improve soil quality. Some of these practices include crop rotation, no-till, reduced tillage, residue management, and planting cover crops. It's important to follow crop rotations because they have been shown to improve soil quality while increasing organic matter and controlling erosion, alleviating compaction, and improving infiltration. The objective of this study was to observe differences in soil physical properties among different crop rotations. And the hypotheses are that soils that are managed under crop rotations that include a diversity of crops would have better soil physical quality than crops grown under monoculture. And these improved soil quality would be lower bulk densities, lower penetration resistance, higher steady state infiltration rate, and a higher percentage of stable aggregates. This research was conducted at the Hunter Long-Term Rotation Experiment. That's part of the Russell E. Larson Agricultural Learning Center in Rock Springs. That's in about the center part of Pennsylvania, just outside of main campus, Penn State. The Hunter plots were established in 1969. They've undergone some changes since then, but have been under their current management since 1990. There are four different crop rotations at Hunter plots, and every year is represented. If you see the yellow blocks, those are the blocks that I had sampled in 2005. All the plots are on a Hagerstown silt loam, which is a highly productive agricultural soil in Pennsylvania. It's deep and well-drained, and all of the plots are conventionally tilled with a moldboard plow to approximately 23 centimeters. And on the plots that I sampled, inorganic fertilizers were applied. The particular years in the rotation that I looked at were the continuous corn, the corn-soybean crop rotation, and the year of corn, the four-year corn, four-year alfalfa rotation, the fourth year of corn after alfalfa, and the first year of corn after alfalfa, and the corn, oat, wheat, 2 years of red clover hay rotation in the year of corn. And if you'll take notice to the abbreviations that I'm using, you'll see them throughout the presentation. Bulk density was measured using a radiation method, and that was done with the Troxler density gauge to 0 to 10 and 10 to 20 centimeter depths. It was done four times a year, and two measurements were taken in each plot. Penetration resistance was measured using the Field Scout cone penetrometer. The Field Scout measures every 2.5 centimeters to a depth of 45 centimeters. I did this twice a year when the soils were at field capacity conditions, and I took five measurements in each plot. Infiltration rate was measured using a single ring method. A 35.6 centimeter diameter ring was kept at constant water level using a flotation valve, as seen here. This was done just once a year and two times in each plot. And aggregate stability was measured using a wet and dry sieving method, and I collected 40 centimeter cores and measure percentage of stable aggregates in each 10 centimeter section. I took two core samples per plot twice a year. And this picture here shows the dunking apparatus that was used for wet sieving. So in this graph, you'll see on the x-axis the time of year of the sampling, and the y-axis shows bulk density in megagrams per cubic meter. And I did not include all my data here because some of it was not significant and also for lack of time. The yellow line on the graph shows what an average bulk density would be for this type of soil, and the red line shows where root restriction would begin. you can see there are some trends. It's not true in every case, but after planting is also shortly after tillage, so I don't take this after planting measurements too seriously. There are some trends, but we start seeing more common trends after 6 weeks and 12 weeks after planting. We see continuous corn and corn-soybean are two rotations that only include annual crops having high bulk densities, which is also true for the fourth year of corn after alfalfa. Our lower bulk densities are seen with the first year of corn after alfalfa and the corn after 2 years of red clover hay. So we're starting to see where corn's just coming out of a perennial crop that we're having better soil quality. The after harvest measurements are a little difficult to explain, but again, we do see higher bulk density here. Now this graph is the same, only this represents the 10 to 12 centimeter depth, so our bulk densities in general are a lot higher. But again, we're seeing a lot of the same trends. We have higher bulk densities with our annual crops and lower bulk densities when we have a perennial crop included with the rotation. This graph shows penetration resistance with depth on the x-axis and penetration resistance in megapascals on the y-axis. Not every depth was significant, but on some of the depths we do see that there are significantly higher penetration resistance with continuous corn. Corn soybean in many cases was not much different, and we have lower penetration resistance with those rotations including perennial crops. Infiltration rate, I did not get any significant data, but I wanted to include the slides anyway. The rotation is here on the x-axis and the infiltration rate in centimeters per hour on the y. Again, it's not significant, but I just wanted to include it because you do still see this common trend with, on average, a lower infiltration rate being seen with the annual crops and higher infiltration rates with those that include perennials. Same thing in 2006. It still wasn't significant, but we still see the same trends. With aggregate stability, here on the x-axis is the depth and the y is the percentage of stable aggregates. At the 30 to 40 centimeter depth, nothing was significant, but throughout the rest of the measurements, we still see the same trend. Our better soil quality indicators, in this case, a higher percentage stable aggregates, are seen with those rotations that include perennial crops. Here, this, I guess that's a red line, would be our corn, oat, wheat, 2 years red clover hay, and also this yellow line is the fourth year of corn after alfalfa. So we do still see the same trend with our lower percentage stable aggregates with continuous corn and the corn soybean rotation. So some conclusions that we can make here. Crop rotations that include perennial crops tend to lead to lower soil bulk densities than crop rotations that include only annual crops. Crop rotations including perennial crops tend to lead to lower penetration resistance after harvest than continuous corn. And crop rotations including perennial crops tend to lead to greater aggregate stability after harvest than crop rotations including only annual crops. So basically the bottom line is that soils managed under crop rotations that include the perennial crops lead to better soil physical quality under conventional tillage systems. And I make that with conventional tillage here because in my original hypotheses I had assumed that it had something to do with the diversity of crops, and I really did not see that in the data. I think that I would have if this would have been in a no-till system, that conventional tillage really masked a lot of the good soil quality effects that I think I would have seen had there not been conventional tillage. I did it in sections. The question was the methods on the aggregate stability. We dry sieve the 10 centimeter sections first, and then we wet sieve them. But we separated the core sections prior to sieving.
Well, the question was, do you use a Nestor sieve, like the number of sieves, or just like the 1 to 2 millimeter size?
Oh no, The 1 to 2 millimeter size, yes. Sorry, I misunderstood that.
Are there no-tillage plots in the same experiment, in the same area?
The question was if there are no-tillage plots in the same area, and there are at Penn State, but unfortunately there wasn't right here, and we chose to use the Hunter plots because they are such a long-term rotation experiment, and the no-till plots are rather new. There have been other students using the no-till plots for similar studies.
This isn't in your study, but I was wondering, has there been recent measurement of the carbon content? Is there a large difference in carbon in the plots?
The question was regarding the carbon differences in the plots, and I'm sure that's been looked at. There have been countless studies and the Hunter plots over the years, so I'm sure somewhere along the line that has been considered, but I'm not aware of what those results would be.
Okay. You still have time. You still have time for questions, or is there any other questions for any of the other presenters this morning? Yes.
With your emphasis and success of showing the diversified crop rotations having an improvement in soil physical quality, what are your ideas for getting users to adopt? What's going to take to make change to get more diversity adopted in our farming systems?
The question was how to promote diversity in crop rotations, and I wish I knew. Education is the big key, of course, but at least in Pennsylvania, most crops are grown as animal feed, and that's pretty much corn and hay, corn and hay. Some growers do grow soybeans also as animal feed, but it's a little difficult to promote other crops when people have specific needs for what's already there. Education, I guess, is probably our best key. Okay, thank you.